We continue our reading of the book of Romans, continuing to verse 12 of chapter 2, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. You'll find this on page 1195. It's hard to overestimate the great importance of the teaching that Paul's given in these early chapters of the book of Romans. He is leading up to the doctrine of justification through faith alone, and he's going to prove its necessity in chapter 1, addressing the irreligious person, the worldly unbeliever who denies God. He says, well, they're under God's wrath. Even if they deny him. But now in chapter 2, he turns to the religious person and he's warning us against relying upon our religion, the fact that we know the word of God, that we've been taught the Ten Commandments or whatnot. Now he makes a point here in verse 13. It's important. He says, it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Now some people have said, Paul plainly states that you can be justified by fulfilling the law by works. And you know what? They're right. You can be justified. If you fulfill the law perfectly, you will be justified. And so while you can be, the corresponding truth is that you cannot be. That's where Paul's going. It's not merely hypothetical. It's how justification works. We are justified through faith because Jesus did this for us. And it's his fulfillment of the law that's imputed to us. But when it comes to ourselves, Paul's going to say, don't just think because you have a Bible and you've been taught a little Bible that you're justified by your possession of religion. The problem is you are not keeping it. And he indicts every one of us somewhere. Every one of us. It's not necessarily hypocrisy. It's just sinful corruption that we have sinful desires. And so we say one thing, we do another. And we teach. Do you teach others? Don't you teach yourself? And he works that out. He is attacking the view that we can be justified by our works through the performance of religion. Oh, we could be. But because of the sin and the guilt of our sin and its corruption, we are not able to be justified that way. Now, he makes two important statements. He points out that the unbelieving people, they deny the law of God. And so they might say, well, how can we be judged? Nobody ever told us. And Paul's continuing his natural religion, saying, you know, that God made them in such a way that they do know the law. And they act upon it even while they deny it. Now, we see that all the time. Our society demands tolerance, denies the moral law of God, except when it comes to them. They will deny so many things the Bible teaches, but if you violate it in their respect, they will sue you. They'll be indignant. Why? Because the law is written on their heart. He says they show, as in many respects, hypocritically, not effectively, but they show enough that they know perfectly well about God and his moral ways. There's the conviction of the ungodly. And he concludes by saying to us, but you see, it's those of you who are trying. His problem is not that religion is bad. It's not bad to know the Bible. It's not bad to know the Ten. It's good. We cannot be justified that way. And he concludes by pointing out that our baptism, he's using circumcision, talking to Jews, for us the same thing, is baptism is not in itself sufficient for us to be saved. It's not the outward rite, it's the inward reality. Now that's important today because there is a heresy that's been going through our churches called the Federal Vision, which teaches that by baptism, the actual rite of baptism, you have union with Christ and you have salvation by being baptized so long as you don't renounce the faith in a public way. Well, here's a proof text against it. Verse 29, a Jew is one inwardly and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. We are to be baptized. It's an important thing, but it is not saving. It is a sign and seal of the reality. It is regeneration. It is the reality of saving faith and its fruits in our lives that saves us. If we are seeking to be justified, then, in our own selves, as he's going to conclude at the end of chapter 3, we have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Irreligious, religious. It's better to be religious in a proper sense, but we must be justified only by the grace of God in Jesus. Well, have those things in mind as we read together God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Listen as I read. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who was uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.